Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 220 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers, and with me, as always, are my two excellent co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
And one Mr. Dallas Wood.
Hello, gentlemen. Being formal today.
Excellent.
Well, hey, I thought about doing Eminem and then being like, you're like, nice cracker rap. And I'm like, man, you had to call Eminem a cracker?
Well, I mean, you are wearing your fancy tank top. So, I mean.
Hey, man. So, fresh waxed shoulders,
you're getting formal.
So, hey. I mean,
nobody sees them shoulders, but here we are. All right.
Listen up. I'm going to throw this whole thing off because, man, oh, man, we have had yet a crazier time. We got an email from our podcast host explaining to us that Spotify hates our guts. And it turns out that the way that was worded was not completely accurate. So just to make sure, I'm going to throw this all out right in the front. Be sure to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators, where you may only be able to get our podcast there from now on, because who knows what'll happen. I'm just kidding, though. But seriously, check out Patreon. And you know what? Rather than throw it at the end, I'm going to throw it up here right now. Follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. And if you want to see what else is shaking, check out the show description for other links and whatnot to click on. But there you go. You want to know what's happening on the show? Check out @bad_motivators on Twitter. Anyway, here we are. It is the day before the holiest of days, May the 4th, Star Wars Day, quote unquote. You know what, man? It's Star Wars Day, right? I get it. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's just like all those people who show up at church on Easter Sunday. And I'm like, where were you the other 51 weeks, butthole, when I was here every week?
Well, I mean, they came for Christmas too, right? So maybe 50 weeks.
Well, but Christmas may not fall on the weekend. I'm talking about the weekends.
Touché.
But yeah, you know what we call those whenever people just come to church on Easter and Christmas? We either call them CEOs, mm-hmm. Christmas and Easter only. Mm-hmm. It's what that stands for. Or or the PTO, present twice only.
Not power takeoff.
Yeah, no, present twice only. And or PTA, present twice annually, is another one. And yeah, anyhow, whatever. It's May the 4th tomorrow, guys. And
you should call them the GTA, the Guild Trip Association.
I should call them the lucky ones.
The lucky ones.
So here's the deal. It is the day before May the 4th as we record this. So this episode will immediately be rendered useless before it even comes out. But here's the deal. We're not going to throw off our schedule. We're just going to do what we do. And this is what we're doing. Tomorrow, The Bad Batch will premiere. And then another episode will follow on Thursday, of which we will speak of next week's episode. Got it? With me so far? Uh-huh. And so that's the deal, man. All this crazy stuff is going to happen tomorrow, but we are just coming in one day shy. Always the bridesmaid and never the bride. That's us. Yeah. So what we're going to do is go ahead and knock this one out right now. Copyright, The Bad Motivators. Well, lads, did anybody get anything?
You know what I got this week?
What?
I got to witness my parents, my son's grandparents, own him hard. So hard this week.
The grandparent own.
It actually happened today, right before we recorded. I got home from work. My wife's about to take my daughter to her tutor, and my son's trying to go with them, and he walks outside to the car. And my daughter doesn't want him to come with them, you know, because she's almost 12 and he's 15. And you know how brothers, sisters, teenagers, right? So anyway, my mom comes up to me. She goes, okay, so we went to the doctor. And I got home and I had talked to somebody at the doctor's office and they were telling me about this trend on TikTok called suspicious, you know, or then some slang. Somebody said sus, and that means the same thing. I'm okay. And so then I guess like, I can't remember exactly the wording of what he said to her, but my mom says to him, "That's sus."
Oh no.
And he apparently said to her, "What planet am I on? How do you know this?" Blah, blah, blah. Has a little freak out, right? Well, I say, my dad's there too. And I said, "You know what you should do, Dad? Next time he says something to you, say it's cap or no cap." And I'm like, "Facts or no facts?" He's like, "Oh, okay." So then right after I get done saying it, he comes back in the house because, of course, he wasn't able to go because my daughter was making too much of a big deal about it. And he starts looking at me. He's like, "Oh, you put on your tank top?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it was hot. I had like, you know, a coat on all day because it was cold this morning, but now it's hot and I just want to cool off and blah, 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 blah." And he's like, "It's cold outside." And my dad, without a pause, says, "No cap." And my son screams, "What planet am I on? What is, you go to the doctor and you know all the things? What's
he got going? The newest chip upgrade. That's what happened.
Exactly.
Of all the new slang."
And I'm on the floor just laughing. I have not laughed on the floor rolling. My body hurt from laughing so hard. Like, oh my God, that's the best thing I've had all week. And the other thing he yelled at me after my dad said no cap, he's like, "I had to tell you what that was."
Yeah, I had to Google it recently. What the fuck does this mean? I had to Google it. I'm like, what the hell? Because all these streamers I watch, they say it constantly. I'm like, what the hell are you even talking about? I'm guessing that means facts or no facts, but I don't even, that's weird. So a cap? Why? What's a cap?
Well, and it's funny too, because my mom's like, "Do you got any more?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Next time he says something that you think is great or awesome, say, "That's goated."
It's goated and goated. Yeah.
You know, my daughter is 8 and she'll tell me that that seems a bit sus. And I'm like, there's the door.
Leave
right there.
Get out.
She actually told me one day that I was playing Red Dead or something, and I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I get there and they're giving a bonus on this, and so all these people will jump into like this online mode but then not actually play. They're just there to get the gold, and so like mm-hmm. I have a team that's nothing but people not actually there." I said, "They're AFK."
Yeah.
And she goes, "Actually, they're AFC." It's a controller. The
American Football Conference?
Not a keyboard. And I'm like, shut up. Anyhow, what about you, Cruz? Did you get anything?
I'm getting those things every day, Eric, all the time. He's my son is speaking more and more like his favorite YouTubers, and it's driving me nuts.
Oh no.
But
is it like, Liddy like, over like, at the cruiser house?
But even in the same like inflection as they do, like it's kind of ridiculous. But yes, I actually did get something. So a few days ago, I happened to look in the bottom compartment of this. I don't know if we were there, but I had these big blue cabinets in my dining room. I don't know if you guys saw them or not.
But
on the bottom cabinet there was this box. It was turned sideways. It said Dork side on. I was like, oh shit. I'm like, did I get a package? And the wife not tell me, and she just put it on the bottom of this thing. That's not where we put packages. So I got all excited and I went to grab it, and then I realized it was a box that we had cut in half to like put Max's homework papers in, like from the day before. We just kind of store them in there, but it had turned sideways. So all you saw was like the Dork side thing with like my address. Like, well, I was like, ah, they disappoint. And then literally later that day, I got a notification from Dork side toys that my package was being shipped. I was like, what? And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's going USPS, and this was like Thursday or Friday. I'm like, I'll get that, and you know, just after we do our show on Monday, so no big deal. But today, I got a notification saying my shipment, in fact, was out for delivery and will be here today. So I'd like to present to you something Dallas already have, but I have now, which is Miss Pocatan.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. It's very cool. I'm glad she's here.
Dude, that's a beautiful figure.
It's a good looking figure. I'm gonna take her out here pretty soon and put her next to the rest of my Mandalorians. But I'm glad. Like, I think the detail is really nice on her face, but I'm also glad that it comes with the helmet because her face kind of weirds me out too. So I feel like there's a couple more detail spots they could have just added a little bit more to add some more accents to her face without making her look. What she does, she looks good, but it could be a little bit better. But it's a lot better than it used to be for sure.
I have a question for you, Luke. Has Hasbro ever done beautiful people well?
That's fair. I mean, poor Oscar Isaac. Poor Pedro's. Oscar Isaac.
Have you seen Pedro's?
Yeah, Pedro. Poor Pedro.
And he looks also, like Rumpelstiltskin.
Also, I also got a recommendation for a show for you guys to watch, and it's kind of been blowing up recently. But it's a cartoon. I'm sure you've seen ads for it. It's called Invincible.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been mm-hmm. wanting to check that out.
It is very, very good, and I don't think that I don't say that lightly. Take the violence level of The Boys, and then put it into a cartoon. But make the story itself like a little bit more down to earth, like being like a father son relationship, essentially. Okay. But there's still some similar elements. Like there's like one or two elements that are kind of similar to The Boys in there, but uh-huh. not, okay. but like not quite enough to say they're mirrors of each other. But the voice cast is excellent. And
anybody we know?
Quite a few. I forget his name. It's a J.K. Simmons.
Oh yeah.
The guy that
that's in everything.
He voices the dad, who is basically nice. he's basically Superman, basically. And and then the guy that played Glenn from The Walking Dead.
Oh yeah,
he voices Invincible. Oh, okay. There's a bunch of people. I'm not going to remember them off of my head. There's a whole bunch of people from The Walking Dead who providing voices in it, because the guy who made the comics originally for The Walking Dead and helped produce the show and all that stuff, he created Invincible, the comic Invincible. So it's a Robert Kirkman comic made to life. And I went and looked up some of the comic book art, and this is one of the best adaptations I've seen of comic art to cartoon that I've seen.
It looks similar to the comic,
like almost identical. Like
that's cool.
It's very, very good. The first episode, I'm not gonna give spoilers, but the first episode kind of makes you feel like it's going to be a certain way. And then it just fucking flips a switch, man. And it's crazy from then on out. So yeah. It's a very good story, and I highly recommend you check it out. Do not watch it with your children. Dallas, you watch it with your son, of course. But
he's a teenager. I can't. He's going to watch it whether I watch it with him or not.
Yeah. It's on Amazon Prime Video. So. I highly recommend it. I don't know, Eric has less talked about on the Sith list at all?
No. Or if he has, I wasn't listening.
That's fair. So then maybe. Fair. So about 80% of the episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been any time between the time where Kylo tells me to talk about Star Wars and we say our goodbyes.
or until Naboo comes up and you have to like participate.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Oh God!
The worst part, honestly, about Naboo is everything. So, did you get anything else?
No. That's okay. It.
Well, sir, I got some video games, the digital versions, on the Xbox store because the annual May the 4th sale happens early. And all the stuff that I bought on Steam last year, the year before, I picked up a handful of those titles on the Xbox because, let's face it, man, my Windows PC isn't the best running thing in the world, and I have no intentions of going and buying another one anytime soon. So I picked up the original Complete Saga Lego Star Wars thing, which is, you know, episodes 4, 5, 6 and 1, 2, 3 that mm-hmm. Henry and I have greatly enjoyed on Steam, but then have to wait while my computer like pauses and coughs it up. Dude, we are having the best time with it. So I picked up that and essentially everything that they had on sale for $5.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. KOTOR, both KOTORs, both Force Unleashed, Jedi Academy, just all that crap. You
Wait,
know?
They're all on that. They're all on Xbox?
Yep.
I didn't see the Force Unleashed games.
Yep.
So you just go to the Microsoft store and
yeah.
get them?
Yeah. The easiest nice. Way to do it is right from your console.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, I also, like, I bought some of them off on the... my web browser on my phone and just had them installed on the Xbox before I got home. But
dude, I've been loving the integration of all that stuff with the Xbox. It's great. It's very, very good.
Pretty fantastic.
Like the Xbox app is awesome and how it works with your console is very good. And like it's very, very awesome.
The recent update for that Xbox app has made it a lot better because they, there were some stuff that worked that they took away that they have since brought back. Anyhow, the other thing I got, prepare yourselves. I'm sending you an image in the Twitter chat.
Okay. Swink.
Is it
a
penis? No. Oh, no.
Yes, sir. That's your Hot Toys Yoda.
The Hot Toys Baby Yoda.
Grogu. Holy,
and I'm going to tell you something. He is glorious. I mean, it looks so real. It almost freaks you out.
That hair is freaky.
Wait a minute. Is it behind you right now and you didn't put it in front of the camera?
Yeah, because I didn't like getting him to stand up. It took me a little bit.
Oh, I see.
To get him stood up. And so I didn't want to mess with success, you know? Oh, but, man. And plus I've got like my computer's like an octopus with stuff hooked to it. But,
Black dude. Series is on top of that Krennic in the background.
What's that?
Man, you're having a Snoke sex show right here on
He's just picture. Laying
you
there.
You didn't even meet. Oh, he's getting it, though.
He's on his back, laying on top of Princess Leia. What's her face? Forces of Destiny.
You heard it all, everybody.
But anyway, Eric, back to the part that matters. Is this show. This Hot Toys, the child, is...
Look at his little teeth.
Freaky.
It's so cute.
Freaky. So and dude, so I rushed home, got him set up on the floor with his little arms outstretched in our bedroom. And I told Amanda, I said, hey, there's somebody waiting to see you. She's like, what are you talking about? She's thinking that I've got a dog or something. Yeah. And she goes in there and I mean, she, I thought she was going to weep. She's like, oh, he's so good.
Really?
New so baby. Oh, dude, he looks awesome. So good. Yeah. So yeah, that was $7,000 well spent.
Isn't that what they're going for now? Probably.
It wasn't really $7,000.
It was expensive as shit, though.
It was $400.
Yeah, that's like middle of the road hot toy, but still expensive.
Dude,
how tall was it? About a foot.
A foot and some change. Yeah, but I mean, it is life size.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Man, how does it feel to own a toy that costs as much as a purebred lab?
Well, at least it won't shit on the floor.
Facts, and you don't have to take it to the vet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's Eric, that's awesome, man. Are his little ears, do they bend?
Well, I haven't messed with him much, but, you know, as in other Hot Toys stuff, he comes with, like, other ears you can put on there.
And really?
Other hands. And yeah, I haven't really dug into it much. I just wanted to get him out and
Does golly, he come with any do you have any like any accessories like the he wouldn't have the shifter knob, but do you have like a frog or like a
frog baby
thing?
Frog egg?
I know that the necklace is in there. And I think the shifter knob might be in there.
Really?
I had to look, man. I mean, I seriously just pulled the thing out and, you know, got him stood up and off we went.
Man, if the necklace is in there, you got to put it on him because that thing's awesome. Yeah. It looks so cute with the necklace on. plus that symbol is awesome.
Yeah, it is. But dude, I am so stoked on this guy right here.
What do your kids think of him?
They're jealous and wish they could have him. And I got news for them. No chance.
No. And I mean, I wouldn't let him touch it. I'm just being honest.
Well, you know, it's just like my bank account. So, yeah, you got that right.
I doubt it's that actual fragile, though. Is it like a dense vinyl material or something?
Yeah, it seems pretty robust.
Yeah.
But, God, dude, he looks so good sitting there.
Did you ever see the behind the scenes where, like, they made, like, the metal mold beneath the flesh of that thing?
No, I haven't seen that.
Like, I don't think that's I don't think it's behind everything, but I think it's how they make like the cast for it, like the mold for it or whatever. But like it was traumatizing. this like monster little face back there, metal face. It would ruin the happy vibes you have right now.
Well, I don't want to see that. So here's something else I got. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's not what you think, and I wouldn't have even thought of it, but I just
heard it. Your social security check?
Outside. Shut your face. My neighbors across the street apparently own the rental house next door that's been vacant. Next door to the house they live in is what I'm getting at. Or they're friends with whoever does. Because this guy that lives over there has this, I don't know, suburban Yukon something, right? That is loud as hell. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's got glass packs on it, just about. He decides he's going to pull a shrub out of the front yard of this place.
Oh, no.
But hold on. At 8:45 last night.
Oh, no.
And, dude, the back of the truck is pointing directly at our house, which anybody who knows anything about vehicles, that's where all the noise comes out. And this went on for, honestly, about 45 minutes. Amanda was fried, dude.
How long can it take to pull a freaking shrub out of the ground? I don't know,
because he pulls up in the yard and he keeps edging forward like an inch or two at a time, trying to get just right. And then I can hear whatever he's using to pull snaps off, probably like a nylon rope or something equally stupid. But I was like, we are getting ready to have words. But the bad thing is when you do that, you always have to worry. Because in my mind, it's like, okay, I'd rather somebody just come and talk to me like a man, right?
Yeah.
But then you have to worry about the, oh, it's on.
Yeah.
Reaction. Yeah. And then when they don't comply with my polite requests, then it's you have to call the cops. They know who it was then,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know. But what I would had it figured out is I was going to go over there and say, hey, is there any way that you could do this at a more reasonable hour, and I'll be happy to come over and help you? Because then how do you get mad about that?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it'd take a special brand of butthole to get bent. But they finally stopped, and I was like, you're lucky my wife didn't come out here. Her patience level is not good.
and I'm assuming the shrub is still there?
No, actually, it's gone.
Oh, they got it out, huh?
It's gone, yeah. Which is good for them. But I just heard that truck start up outside, and I'm like, here we go. But I don't hear it. I don't hear it running right now.
So. You don't hear the landscapers at my property here mowing the lawn in the dark, do you? Because I don't know how they're seeing what they're doing, but God, it's dark out there.
There's somebody in my neighborhood that does that. You hear, and it's like, do you just like have stadium lights on in your yard?
No, but they anyhow. Don't have any. No light. I don't get it.
I remember being in like high school and really wanting like that loud, like performance sounding exhaust or whatever, you know?
Oh yeah.
I used to think loud trucks were cool. And then I got about,
dude, you live in Indiana. I mean, it's indoctrinated.
Oh, it's everywhere. But then I hit about 25, and every time I hear one, I just kind of wish the truck exploded. Speaking of explosions, have you guys ever heard the tire on a dump truck explode?
Yes.
It is so loud.
I feel it in your body.
They're doing some road construction by my house, and mm-hmm. I was at the stoplight, you know, just sitting there like, I don't know, jamming some tool or something. And I happened to watch this dump truck just kind of going into that area, and the loudest bang I can ever remember hearing that close went off, and one of his tires just like exploded. And I don't know what causes the tire to explode like that. I'm guessing because there's so much
weight
or pressure on it or whatever, but like mm-hmm. it almost sounded like somebody set off a bomb inside the tire. Mm-hmm. It was nuts. Mm-hmm.
I was outside when that happened once. I was walking on a busy street in downtown Salt Lake, and a dump truck braked in. It was in the middle of the summer, and it was like braking to a stop for like unexpectedly at the stop. Yeah. Like it changed yellow really quick, and he didn't want to run it because he's in a big truck, you know?
Yeah.
And as he's stopping, it just blows like 30 yards from me, and I felt it in my body. Just the sonic boom of the loudness of how fast that sound wave just
I was trapped. Glad I had my windows down. I'm afraid they would have busted.
So when I rode motorcycles, one of the things you always were concerned about if you were on any kind of highway was when you'd smell that rubber burning, and you'd know that meant a tractor trailer was getting ready to throw a tire.
Yeah.
Because it'd kill you. I mean, it would kill you bad. And so as soon as you smell it, what you're supposed to do is just get on the brakes as hard as you can and get in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And hope that it happens far enough ahead that, you know, it can't get you. But,
so why do they blow up so often on tractor trailers? It's just because of the weight and friction of everything or what?
Yeah. But here's what happens, man. And this is everybody who's listening to this is going, this is the best Star Wars podcast I ever heard. Is
talking about blowing up tires.
What they'll do is they'll retread a tire. Okay.
Yeah.
And the reason they do that is because obviously they get a ton of miles on them, but the carcass of the tire is still in reasonably good shape, meaning the sidewalls essentially.
Yeah.
And so what they'll do is they'll get basically the center part of the tire, like the flat part that rides on the road, and rubber weld it to the sidewalls.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen some up close. Not great. And so what happens
safest looking things.
It gets hot as hell.
Yeah.
And ends up disintegrating, or because of all those wheels, you know, they'll end up having one lock up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One of the wheels will lock up.
The bearing.
The other ones keep turning.
Yeah. The bearing will lock up.
Yeah. And boom. So, which leads me to a story. True, scary story. I had a job when I was in my early 20s traveling for this company. We flew out of this little regional airport all the time. And what you flew on were commuter prop planes, meaning that they'd be like an independent contractor operating as Delta. And you would fly from there to a hub, and it was like a turboprop plane. You know,
we had a whole regional airline here called SkyWest that they were all props, and my grandpa called them ScareWest.
But dude, ScareWest. Most of the time everything was cool, right? But one time we're on the runway, plane starts to, you know, they hold on the brakes and then rev the props as hard as they can. So it's like, you know, getting the whole shot, leaving the line kind of thing. You can hear one of the tires squalling its way down, right? Which means that the brake didn't let go whenever they let go, right? Mm. It's squalling, we go, we take off, whatever, it's all over, everything's fine until we land.
Oh, no.
It's still locked up.
No.
We hit the ground, it blows that tire. The plane like starts sliding what felt like completely sideways. I'm sure it wasn't that bad, but it was the worst experience.
And did the pilot play the
ever had on a plane? They didn't come on and make any announcements.
I was gonna say though, but did he get his phone out and play the Tokyo Drift soundtrack?
Dude, it sucked so bad. I've had some weird flight experiences, man, but that takes the cake.
Well, you used to travel a ton though, right? Yeah. So I mean, like the most experience, the weirdest experience I ever had on a plane was when I was riding on a private plane come back from Colorado, and then they and the private jets ride higher than the commercial jets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this one did. Anyways, and like, and you never realize just how fast those commercial jets are moving until you're going the opposite direction of one, and it flies like, if what feels like right beneath you, but literally is like, you know, hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 feet below you, and it just whoo, just gone. It was terrifying. Like, I happened to just look down and see it happen. I was like, man, we're up here with these fucking behemoths. And it's just, it's you just never think the planes are actually that close.
Yeah.
In the
air. That's really close. Holy shit.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, it's very close. You know what I mean? Like, ultimately, it's not, it's further away than it might appear to the naked eye.
Yeah.
But it's still, in the grand scheme of things, when you think of how much sky there is.
Yeah.
Is there any reason, like, we have to be this close?
I mean, but just seeing how fast that thing moves and it, and you know, if it somehow were to hit you, like, neither person on either plane would ever know what happened, because it'd be done.
That'd be merciful. That's so okay. And this is the last plane story I'll ever tell. But yeah, like, a law of averages dictates that because of the amount I flew, I'd have more crazy experiences.
Yeah.
Have you ever had this happen where you're coming in for a landing, and you know when you're coming in for a landing, they stall the engines?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost on the ground. Full stall. Suddenly, everything fires back up as hard as they can, and they pull up as hard as they can and abort the landing. That ever happened to you?
No.
I had it happen twice in 1 week.
Damn.
And you want to talk about crapping your pants. One of the times, it was either Seattle or Portland. We come in, and I mean, and the pilot's like, "Well, folks, sorry about that. You know, there was a plane on the runway where there shouldn't have been." And we were never in any real danger. But you want to talk about, like, swallowing your heart?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, twice in 1 week. Twice in 1 week. And the bad news is, both times I was on my way to a place, and it was like in the daytime. So I certainly wasn't drunk, which sucked. And,
oh yeah,
that was the worst. But anyway,
no, so wait. I got a worse plane story. I will take that takeoff thing in 2 weeks compared to my worst plane story. I was traveling for work 3 weeks of a month when I was an independent contractor buying cars for dealers to auctions. So I flew a ton, and I went to the restroom. Or no. This time, okay, this has happened twice to me, but not next to me. Okay. I was asleep, and it was one of those Canadian jets, you know, that's like two rows on each side and a big center aisle, you know, smaller plane. So we're in the back near the restroom. I'm asleep at the window, and I wake up to this rustling noise, and I look over at the guy next to me, and he taking one out underneath the blanket right next to me.
What?
Yeah. He thought I was going to be asleep, and we're in the back row, and there's no stewardess back there, you know.
He was rubbing one out, right?
Rubbing one out, rubbing one out, right next to me on a small commuter jet.
I gotta say, bro, that's terrible. But I would much rather have to tell some dude to fucking put it back in his pants than to experience the fears of jet propulsion, immediate emergency flight.
Well, the thing that got him to stop was, the restroom's right there, man.
Yeah.
That's what I said to her. Like, can we do this not next to me? And he just, his face just went white, like marshmallow white.
We're moving on from that. But Eric, I got to ask you a question about make a statement about that. So whenever you were landing, right, and the plane stalled, and they got to hit the engines up immediately like that, do you know about how close you were to the ground?
Couple hundred feet, maybe. It's hard to tell. It looked close to me.
Oh God. It's like at that moment, like, you understand the real power that that plane has. Like,
oh yeah. To know that you're reversing the heavy effects of gravity.
Oh my God. I mean, you're literally, and the weight of that thing. Oh my God. Like, that's, it's amazing. I mean, it's a real feat of engineering that it didn't just break apart with all force all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, because the amount of stress on that thing would have to be terrible. And that's one of the things too. You hear everything shaking.
Yeah.
As it goes vertical, and I mean, all your over. Here's something interesting too. If you don't know this, by the way, and I swear to God, we'll stop talking about planes here in a second. Did you know that they're one of the reasons that they pressurize an airplane is to keep it from bending in half when it's in the air? Have you ever looked at the roof of an airplane? You know what it looks suspiciously like? A spine and ribs. Mm-hmm. Because that's what it is. And they pressurize that thing to make it stay tube-shaped as it flies instead of looking like a wacky, waving, inflatable, arm-flailing tube man. You know what I mean?
That makes you wonder, is that modeled after birds? You know what I mean? I'm sure birds have a similar process. Yeah. They harden their middle so they can sustain flight.
Yeah. Hold in their farts. So anyway, let's go back. Let's talk about what stuff is supposed to come out tomorrow as far as product goes. We do know we're getting the Bad Batch. We do know we're getting some Simpsons thing called the Force Real. What is it? The Force Reawakens. Awakens from a nap. Okay, yeah. And it's Maggie Simpson, and she's holding the lightsaber up in the little picture. Mm-hmm. So you know the Simpsons still banging it out after 28 seasons or however many it is.
They hit 20 and I quit watching.
Yeah. I think most people did. But Miss Hoover? Yes, Ralph. My cat's breath smells like cat food. Okay, Ralph. Miss Hoover? Ralph, is this about your cat?
Yes. I see a leprechaun. He tells me to burn things.
There's a streamer that I watch that he'll be getting in an intense situation, and you'll hear it quite often. He'll do the Ralph, I'm in danger.
Dude, one of the best Simpsons moments that I managed to turn into a joke was a picture of Stella and Henry with the I'm with Snoke shirt.
Yeah.
Look, Daddy. Todd Snoke and I'm with him, and now Mommy's Snoke. Oh God, that poor Ned Flanders. Oh gee, golly, doobly, Lord, I don't know why you've done this to me. God, I'm your faithful servant. Anyhow,
dude, his wife died from a t-shirt cannon.
Poor Ned. I loved how whenever he started dating and Homer's trying to make the video for him, and he shows him in the shower, and he's like ripped to shreds and has a huge dong. So good on him, man. Anyway.
Or the one where he's in the ski costume and like Homer can't get out of his thoughts. He's like, it feels like it. I'm wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. And Homer's like, stupid, sexy Flanders.
Okay, so what stuff is supposed to come out tomorrow besides my gay tendencies for cartoon characters?
Well, there's not been, from what I could tell, not a whole lot announced. There were a couple things from Sideshow and Hot Toys. There's been a tease of some of the Bad Batch guys getting their own Hot Toys figures. There was some mini busts revealed from Gentle Giant, one of which was a Wrecker. And there was a big Darklighter one as well, which we know Star Wars explained. We know Star Wars explained will be happy about that. That dude, have you seen his cosplay of Biggs Darklighter? Alex from Star Wars Explained.
It's funny.
No.
he even streamed as Biggs Darklighter as he was playing Star Wars Squadrons games on Twitch. he had this whole compartment set up and everything. It was very well done. Anyways, and when that, from what I've seen, and I checked out Yak Face, who's, you know, the go-to dude for all that stuff, I've not seen anything Black Series-wise that, or at least directly correlates to, I mean, because we already had stuff come out for Bad Batch and stuff we knew was coming out for Bad Batch. So I wonder what they have in store, and I wonder if it's going to be heavily Mandalorian based. If I had a guess, I bet they announce, because they love announcing new Boba Fett figures, you got to think they're going to announce a Black Series Boba Fett when he first comes back in that armor.
Yeah, where it's all clean.
Or where it's all dinged up and then one.
Yeah,
one
either way. They'll do both, man. What are you talking about?
It's Boba Fett. There's literally how many variants in Black Series of Boba Fett now? Like at least too eight many. Or nine. Too at least. Many. Like there's a whole bunch. In different packaging and whatever else. And of course, Eric's favorite, the carbonized version. So, but that's really all I've seen. Not a whole lot. There was a premium Ahsoka Tano figure announced from Sideshow that looks pretty cool.
Oh, it looks awesome.
But I mean, beyond that, they're not really giving me anything to go off of, at least as far as I've been able to dig into.
I definitely won't get it tomorrow, but I want that Wedge Antilles helmet.
Oh. That was announced a little while ago, though.
Was it? Isn't it coming out tomorrow, though?
I don't know what's coming out tomorrow. I wonder if it's already on pre-order, because they mentioned it like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Been out of the loop. I like that new packaging that looks like the old 3 3/4 clone troopers, like from, you know, when the Clone Wars was aired. And now they're doing the 6-inch version of those figures. That same
packaging. Oh, yeah, and that white packaging.
Yeah. I want to get ARC Trooper Echo, and I want to get the Pilot Hawk. I'm going to get him. I want to get the troopers in that line. I don't necessarily care about Obi-Wan and Anakin. I already have them in other packaging, and the packaging's cool, but then it just means I'm buying those, and that's just more shit I have to sell. And I don't love the packaging enough to want to have Obi-Wan and Anakin in that package.
Yeah, when I first saw those, I didn't realize they were the 6-inch version, because it was historically the 3 3/4.
Yeah.
So I just never even, I was like, oh, well, they're just reissuing those, because why not? And I don't know. I really hope they announce a Ben Solo figure already, and just give us something as Ben Solo merch. Like there's literally nothing at all. And but I hope we get something from that. They're like, well, you got enough Kylo Ren. Like, it's not the same though. It's a little bit different. Yeah.
Do you know if we're getting that the Imperial Rocket Trooper that they did in Canada? You know if we're gonna get that at GameStop?
I don't know. I'm not even sure which one you're talking about.
It's this one.
Oh, I thought that was already released here in GameStop. I thought that came out. Oh, I feel like I've seen people with it, but to be fair, I saw it on Twitter, so it could have been from people from Canadians. I have no idea.
I just did some store in Canada exclusive, and I'm like, fuck, man, I want that shit.
Well, I feel like GameStop has gotten almost every single one of those from the video game, Black Series figures. But I don't know, Eric, is there anything that, like, you know, they could announce that would, you know, tickle your fancy?
Man, that's tough, because right now, if I don't see it in person, it's very hard for me to get excited about it, regardless of what it is. And I realized maybe if I got out more, I would find it easier. But I think that, like, seeing the Bad Batch stuff, once I see the show tomorrow, I think I would want those. I'm betting. But past that, I don't know. Because, like, maybe some Ben Solo stuff would be cool.
Yeah.
But as far as the rest of the thing, I have basically everything I want, unless like new shows and movies start coming out to make me want other stuff. Does that make sense?
No, I definitely feel you. I said the only thing that would pique my fancy would be Ben Solo and Old Man Boba. That's the only thing I really care about.
Yeah.
It's like I got all the Mandalorians that I want after I got Bo-Katan. There's only the other lady Mandalorian. What was her character name? Do you remember?
I want her. I know what you're talking about. The wrestler.
But I think that figure already went for pre-sale, because I wanted to go get on on Amazon, and it was either all gone or it hadn't gone up for sale yet. But that was announced a couple weeks ago too. So I wonder if that's also going to be a May the 4th. What I'm afraid is that they've already, because we've seen plenty of stuff over the last few weeks. You know what I mean? Like little snippets of things, like Rey's Black Series lightsaber, and like that figure that the Mandalorians talked about, and then some other things. Like, I'm almost worried that they're not going to announce anything new, and they're just going to have all that stuff up for pre-order. You know what I mean?
Well, and that would be obnoxious if that's what happens. But again, yeah. It's at this point, it's kind of like whatever. Now, listen, I would be totally stoked if something came along and flipped me out so much it'd be like, oh my God, I have to have that. I would love to feel that way about Star Wars collectibles again.
Mm-hmm.
Because listen, Hot Toys stuff is rad. Looking at this little Grogu, it's beautiful, but that is not something that I can make a habit of doing. So like when Black Series was really hitting the stride and you could find the figures and you know you could have something pretty decent looking for $20, that was awesome. But now that I have to order it and hope that it feels as cool as I think it's going to when I'm holding it, once I'm finally holding it in my hand after I've spent the money, I don't know, man. It's just, that's not where I'm at anymore. And yeah. I would love it if I felt that excited about it.
For budgetary reasons, I have basically said, if I don't find it in the wild or somebody doesn't find it in the wild for me, I don't want it. I just can't afford to be pre-ordering everything anymore. And it's just,
It helps keep but your habit down.
I think I will be going out early. I think I just miss that. I think I'm going to go wait at Target, my local Target. I think I'll get out there early and actually like get in there and see what I can find that's exclusive. Because like, you know, on the shelf behind me, I got that Future Pop from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that Boba Fett exclusive pop. I'm just like, I want that one thing. You know what I mean? Or the Bad Batch figures. I definitely want those. Like, they would be a priority for me, but that'd be $100. You know what I mean?
But typically, though, they don't really have a, like whenever they're going to have a release of figures on a specific day where they're all going to be there, don't they usually like announce it way beforehand? Like
that's true. They did not do that this year.
Yeah. I don't know that May the 4th has ever been a big go buy it right now. It's more announcement driven. You know, it's not like Force
or Friday, online ordering,
for example. Yeah.
I just, you know, in the past there was lines like Force Friday, you know?
Yeah. Force Friday, which is not May the 4th.
But in this year, I don't think there will be lines. I think I'll just go early when they
open. Yeah, I mean, there might be something. I'm not saying there won't be. I'm just saying it's not like... It's not like
Force Friday. No, yeah, I agree.
Force Friday is an event where it's a toy release and like, this is what's going to be there. Make sure you're there. You know, like, what all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
I think May the 4th is more of a showcase day of everything Star Wars, and then which also includes toy releases because that's Star Wars. But like a lot of us are hoping for they're going to give us like some kind of content update. You know, like
that would be great.
Like maybe like a teaser for one of the shows they're working on, or maybe a little more insight to a future project they're working on, something like that. You know, like. Just a little snippet of what Taika Waititi's Star Wars is going to be, you know, something like that. Like that's all we're looking for, mainly.
I could see them dropping something for the Book of Boba Fett since it's supposed to be released in seven months. I think
that show's been wrapped.
Like they might have footage to actually give us a teaser of that, is what my point is.
Yeah, and with Boba Fett, I mean, there's plenty of moments in there where you don't have to worry about CGI, that you could just put it like this, like a scene or something.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Like
that uniform is. I mean that helmet, and like I know you love it all weathered, but I love it clean too. I love them both.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see peak old man Boba Fett.
It's strange because the clean one like weirded me out more than the like really messed up version of it. Do you know what I mean? Like
no dent and he's all painted. And
no. That's the thing. The dents were still there. You're not getting rid of those dents, but it was just a fresh coat of paint over the, you know. when you get your fender smashed, but you don't fix it, you just paint over it.
Just paint over the dead.
You're like, well, you know, you if you don't want to pull it, you can at least, you know, put some Bondo. No, no, no. Well, I'm not sanding anything. I'll just paint
it. I just want to know what dented Beskar. After what we Blasters. Know about Beskar.
Maybe I think the implication is that they're it's blaster shots. I think that's, you know what I mean? Even though we know that's not the case anymore, but I think that was always kind of an implication. But I mean, it would have had, maybe it was a weapon made out of Beskar. You know what I mean?
You know, and this is a random thought. I feel like I'm on tangents right now. Have you ever wondered where they store the rockets, the extra rockets?
Oh, you mean the ones that shoot out?
Yeah.
I always felt like that was a one and done. Like he had to go back to the ship. That was okay. We need to sit on this.
Or like the space CVS in the rocket section.
but the rockets were like a, they only used it. They absolutely had to, or like it was for, or they were in flight and needed to blow up a ship, you know, like.
Or a crate dragon or whatever.
Yeah. But
that was aiming for the left one, that scene. That
shit. But I mean, yeah, I think for me, the thing I'm looking most forward to is the potential, besides seeing the Bad Batch, which is gonna be cool and it'd be nice to watch it with my son, is I hope we get some real news, because I gotta tell you, Marvel just punched everybody in the face today.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
With totally the news. I mean, with that trailer, that was 3.5 minute long trailer of what's coming out right now, what's coming out in the future, new title releases, release dates. Like, Marvel's like, listen, movies are coming back and we got some for you, so let's go.
So smart of them to do that. Just brilliant of them to do that.
I mean, they
get
just
people excited for summer, man. Popcorn movies. People are going to be able to go to the movies again.
They just said, you know what? Here's the next 2 years of films. Enjoy, you know. And they, you know, announcing that Black Panther is going to be called Wakanda Forever, and
oh, that's dope.
You know,
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, and the new Captain Marvel movie is going to be called The Marvels.
Yeah, it's not Captain Marvel 2. I saw that. I'm actually super excited, because that whole I've gone back since that movie came out. I've read like pretty much all of Captain Marvel's our books. Yeah, it's good shit. I'm excited for that,
because it's going to have Miss Marvel, and then it's supposed to also have Rambo in it.
Yeah, her character.
Yeah, is it Monica Rambeau?
Yeah, Monica Rambeau. But I don't know what her like superhero name is. It's like
it's not been established yet. I mean, it's been established in the comics, but not established on.
Yeah, that, because I've read the comic and I can't think.
Yeah,
what would be so great is if her superhero name was First Blood Part 2. You're welcome. That's what it should be.
Oh, man.
What do you think? Whenever Sly Stallone was pitching the sequel to First Blood, they're like, what are you thinking for a title? He's like, hear me out. First Blood Part 2. They're like, wouldn't that be second? Blood drawn again, second blood, or something like? No. They always draw first blood.
It's first blood in a different location.
It's such totally a weird sense. Title. Fresh Dude, wounds. I remember watching first that blood, when I was fresh nine wounds. At my aunt's house. We like shouldn't have been watching this movie. We're like, he's got explosive arrows. Did you see that guy blow up in chunks?
As dumb we thought as
that
those
was like
movies.
A real.
As dumb as those movies are, they're so great. I mean, right. What's not to love? I saw that in theaters so many times, because that marks a period in my life where I started doing the thing where you go to the movies with your parents, but you don't sit with them.
Yeah.
You're right at that age. And dude, the scenes where like he pulls himself into that wall of mud and you see his eyes open. So
in the first
good.
Movie or in the second one?
It's the first Rambo movie.
Yeah, where he's first in the Blood trees and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. He's hiding in that wall of mud. He just presses himself into it, and then you see his eyes pop open as that one soldier goes by. But the scene where he's tied up and they've been shocking him the whole time.
Oh, yeah, on that like the metal bed frame.
Yeah. And then they make him call, what's his name? Murdoch. Isn't that yeah. guy's name?
Yeah.
And you see his like hands start clenching the mic and his super totally excellent forearms muscles popping yeah. out. And he's like, I'm coming for you. It's like, woo-hoo!
Dude, you know what's funny?
What's not to love about that?
That's a classic like Sly Stallone, like where like the first movie, like the first Rocky or like the first Blood were like genuinely good movies. You know what I mean? Like with plots to them and like really like you had like an emotional connection to it or whatever. And then the rest of them, some of the Rockies might have emotional connection to the other ones. It was clear that they were trying to recreate that magic again, just like they with the first Blood and everything else. And the same thing with every Predator movie since the first one. Like, it's just like, and I think one of the few franchises that really made it out of that way, as far as those, that category, are the Terminator movies. You know, Terminator 2 obviously was that fantastic, you know.
Yeah,
and
people think it's better than it's the best of all of them. I mean,
as I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate the first Terminator a lot more than I did as a kid. Like, you know, because Terminator 2 was like boom, explosions, wow, whoa, bam, and like
CGI,
and like but like the first one is scary. Like
it's terrifying.
Dude, yeah, the end scene when he's chasing after her through that factory and shit.
It's not even
fucking
that
terrifying.
The worst scene for me, as far as like scary wise, it's like a pure like Arnold stalker moment, is when he's looking for her in that nightclub.
Oh yeah,
and he like starts just like blasting away people to get to her.
All the innocence, yeah,
yeah, yeah, and like the music's playing, the light. He looks badass, like he's young Arnold there.
Yeah,
and Linda Hamlin looks great, and she's like terrified. She's acting the shit out of that scene, and like it's just like wow, like it. And dude, the music in that first movie is on point.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
All that, and the one synth, that cheap yeah. synth.
It's so good though. It's so good.
Yeah. And the one that nobody talks about, and it's really good, is the last one that came out. The last one is awesome.
I like that one too. It's very
Linda
good.
Hamilton. She was great. I never saw in that. So go see it, man. It's awesome. Like,
yeah,
it's,
I mean, if you
so
like
underrated,
because you like the one before that, Eric. You like unabashed said you like that one.
Terminator Genesis.
Yeah,
dude, I love Genesis. That movie. Yeah, I like Genesis too. It's way better than Genesis.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
you'll like this one a lot too.
I actually like all of them. Some of those middle ones have their flaws, but I enjoy them. I enjoyed the show, the Sarah Connor show. That shit
I never saw it.
Oh, so good. I can't believe they canceled it.
I have a special place in my heart for all the Terminator movies. Not so much all the Predator movies, but all the Terminator movies. Like Terminator 3, I think is arguably the worst one, but like it's just,
it is. I like it though,
but it still has its moments. But like,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Here we are on Terminator.
I like Terminator 3 better than the one with Christian Bale in it.
Do you?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
I disagree.
That movie was stupid.
I disagree.
I like it.
That's the worst one.
Like. I know why you say it's the worst one. We've already had this discussion. I know why you say it's the worst one.
Why do I say?
But
that?
Why?
Why do I say it's the worst one?
Because of the whole beating heart thing.
Yes. With the scene. Yeah. It's so dumb. Oh, there's just so great to hear just a strong human heart. First of all, worst foreplay talk ever. But second of all, they're
dude,
beating you
foreplay.
Over the head with,
yeah.
Here's what's going to happen later, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, too much foreshadowing in that scene.
I think I personally just like enjoyed like the cinematography of the movie.
Oh
like,
yeah,
I think there's a lot of really good scenes that way, you know. And I really like
the
Christian
action
Bale.
Shots were incredible.
Even though he's a huge dickhead, I still like Christian Bale when he acts. So like it's just a
oh yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, he's amazing.
But dude, seriously.
Well, and we also had what's his name from Mad Max in there. Yeah,
Sam Worthington.
Yeah,
he wasn't Mad Max.
No, not Mad Max. What else?
Ferngully in space.
Yes.
Dude, listen. Dances with Blue Wolves. So listen. Yeah. That whole strong human heart thing would be like if in the prequels, in every movie, Anakin wound up temporarily like in an oxygen tent or an iron lung or something. It would be like, it just like it was destined to happen.
Or like every Star Wars movie ever talking about how we need hope. Constantly hope. Everything's hope. All we have is hope.
A new
hope.
What we could really use is a new hope right now.
Yeah, we could use some hope here.
Or, but
rebellions are built on hope.
Because here's the deal with that whole strong human heart thing. Nobody, and I repeat, nobody would ever say that in that situation. It made no sense.
I mean, unless she was like cuddling up with machines all the time.
Well, that's just it.
You know, people also don't talk about how they ate sand.
Yeah.
In a very but like, descriptive
yes,
way.
They do.
Yes, they do. I talk about how I hate sand. It's rough, of course, because everywhere, because it does. But I agree. That moment and that line is some of the worst ever in a movie. I definitely agree.
It ruined it for me. Any good that could have come out of it was ruined in that exact instant.
I'm able to move on when something stupid happens in a movie.
Yeah, me too.
Listen, I can do it when it's an episode of this podcast, but not in a movie like that. I'm trying to remember if I saw that in the theater, because if I had, I would have yelled out right in the middle of it.
What is this?
Bullshit.
Explain yourself.
Or I would have yelled out, this is going to come back later. Just you wait.
Oh, man. I always say,
foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
That's how I always whisper it when we're together. Yeah. Oh, foreshadowing. I did it during Kong versus Godzilla.
I don't know. Maybe it's because they bust out that awesome Alice in Chains song.
I don't know. Man. I love the A-10 Warhogs, like, just mowing shit down. Oh, and then those big-ass, cool, like, robots, like, picking people out of the, thing. It's fucking terrifying, man.
That whole scene was cool. And the motorcycle Terminators.
Oh, my God. That shit was dope. And then Arnold, like, the de-aging of Arnold. And
it wasn't a de-aging. That was a whole CGI Arnold.
But it looked good.
Yeah. The guy that they used as the model for that looked a lot like young Arnold.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember what the bodybuilder's name was, but I remember him. And good on him. But
that
anyway.
That was kind of terrifying in that scene, too, when like they're fighting in the factory.
Yeah.
That shit was kind of terrifying, too.
So. I mean, there's one thing Terminator franchise does well, is fight in a fucking factory. Like, we've come here to fight in factories, sometimes smashing's involved, sometimes melting's involved. This is how you destroy an unstoppable robot.
I'm trying to think. I think this last one is the only one where they don't fight in a factory of some kind.
What would be great is if in these movies, the Terminators were the ones luring the humans into the factories. And what they were doing is luring them into like a Reese's peanut butter cup factory, because they knew the humans couldn't resist it. They would be doing is trying to give them diabetes in there.
The fucking Chief Long Con.
They're playing.
No, I think this would be like regional. You know, it would be regional. You know what I mean? Like here in Utah, they'd lure people in with green jello with carrots in it and fucking funeral potatoes.
But
listen, everybody can get behind Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah, well, unless you're allergic to peanut butter. But Dallas,
you should get Dallas.
Dallas, there is a factory fighting scene in the newest one.
Yeah, you're right. There
in Mexico.
Is. Damn, they just don't break up the factory fight scene in every movie. There is a factory fight scene.
What would be great is if in Attack of the Clones there was a Terminator.
One Terminator.
In there.
Yeah. Just like maybe like in one of the Senate seats.
Oh my God, yes. There's the ETs over there. And then there's the Terminators. They're all Arnold and all wearing sunglasses and leather jackets.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And all of a sudden you hear like just the like faintest.
No. And the T-1000 comes up to the mic to address the Senate. You know, he goes chrome and then into the cop uniform.
Talk to the hand.
Anybody seen John Connor?
So I know we've talked about this. Oh my God, dude, this is going to be the least listened to episode of the Bad Motivators.
I mean, they're all for us at this point.
The kid
right.
who played his friend in Terminator 2.
Oh, dude. Yeah, the redheaded kid. He was on a show on Nickelodeon called Salute Bar Your None. Oh, Salute Your Shorts. That's right. Salute
he
Your Shorts.
He was in...
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He was in Different Strokes.
Yeah.
When Philip Drummond remarried or got married, I don't know that he was ever even married before, he married Dixie Carter. And she had a son named Sam, who was like, geez, Mr. D. Gosh, you know, it was him. It was Danny Cooksey is his name. And dude, and I know I've mentioned this on an episode, and I am sure as hell not going to put any song on this podcast ever. But he was the lead singer in a band called Bad for Good. The word bad, the number four, the word good. And this kid named Thomas McRockland played guitar. And he used to be in the Ibanez ads back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was a little squirt. He played young Steve Vai in The Audience Is Listening. I think that was the name of the song and the music video. And dude, it was neat. But yeah, he was his friend. And God, that movie's so good. From now on, we're a Terminator 2 podcast.
Yeah. That guy's name is Danny Cooksey.
Danny Cooksey, yeah.
And he was on Salute Your Shorts, and he is now 45.
Fuck, man.
Really? Fuck. And Derek's like, yeah, so? But
I'm old enough to be his dad.
Speaking of Salute Your Shorts, on, I believe it's Prime, there is a great documentary about Nickelodeon. You should check it out.
Really? About the old shows and stuff?
Just starting up, how they got started, where their thinking was, how it's not very long, so it's easy to, you know, digest in a small amount of time. It's like an hour and 25 minutes or something.
I can't remember. Was that always a product of MTV?
No.
It wasn't?
They just are owned by Viacom.
Well, they are now, but I feel like, I don't know. For some reason, I always thought that was an offshoot of MTV because the MTV had those animated cartoons, like, I think before Nickelodeon was a thing, maybe. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, the same.
Because, like, because you know how they had that time. Weird kind of moment where, like, some of the cartoons on Nickelodeon were kind of similar to cartoons that were on MTV, like Ren and Stimpy was on Nickelodeon, and that's, like, one of the most perverse cartoons they would ever show to children. Oh, and then, like, it's just,
they
like...
They talk about that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's
the first part of their existence was buying children's properties that were ready made to go for a reasonable price because, you know, they were being part of a cable package. They weren't like a above and beyond subscription. Yeah. So, like, you can't do that on television was a Canadian's kid show. And they put like a bunch of like European cartoons that they had dubbed in English, like Heathcliff.
Yeah,
that was like from France or something.
I think they really missed a golden opportunity to have Danny Cooksey on an episode of Pete and Pete as like a cousin.
Oh yeah, I forgot he was on Pete and Pete too. Yeah, I mean, oh no, he could have been. Yeah, he totally could have been.
I mean, there's so much ginger power there, man.
Right?
Maybe it would have been too much ginger power. Maybe too much.
Well, yeah, they'd have to rename it from Pete and Pete to Soulless.
Yeah, you said that, not me.
I'm a ginger, so I can say those things. Those are our words, sir.
And then throw in Ham from The Sandlot.
Right? I love Ham. Ham as an adult on
I've seen it.
Awesome on TikTok.
He is awesome. Dressing up exactly. He's like redoing scenes as he is now as an adult as he was at
late 30s adult. Yeah. Oh yeah. Man, he is a treasure. He's turning into a treasure.
It's crazy how much he looks exactly the same.
He does not look very different. No, he's thin. He's pretty thin. You know, you would think he would have been a bigger guy than that. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if I call him thin.
I don't, but he's not like.
He's chubby.
Yeah, he's just chubby.
But
his
dad body. Anyways, we're going way down a rabbit hole. Doesn't matter.
So I watched a fistful of dollars.
Ooh, nice.
On last week, man. And dude, I'm going to tell you right now, part of what made me want to go watch it again, because I haven't seen it in forever, is listening to David W. Collins' episodes about Ennio Morricone's soundtracks for those movies. The Dollars.
That's not what I expected. I thought you were going to say, I was playing Red Dead. I just thought, I should watch Fistful of Dollars, because that's what I did.
Well, that's part of it, too, because, man, see the scenery in there, especially, like, I'm close to the end of Red Dead 1. Don't tell me. I realize that game is old. But I don't want to know how it ends. But regardless, so much of the scenery, especially in Mexico, looks like it was lifted straight out of Fistful of Dollars. And dudes, Clint Eastwood's so great in that. And his speech that he gives to those guys about his mule.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like, you know, my mule got to feeling real bad about how mean you were to him. And now I know you were just joking, but he doesn't know that. So blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, my God. And the way he just mows him down, that is so great. It's like the greatest thing of all time. And oh, Star Wars. I'm so glad that you got the Mandalorian. Now you just need to have a speech like that about some animal. You see, my Mudhorn, he got to feeling real bad.
My blurg.
And I know you're going to apologize to him. I know you will. But anyway, so guys, listen, tomorrow we're going to hopefully see some new stuff. Do you think that we're going to see anything major?
No.
Besides, obviously, the Bad Batch.
I think we will get some kind of update on one or two of the TV shows. At the most, we'll get a teaser for the Book of Boba Fett and maybe a slight behind-the-scenes look at Cassian at Andor. I think that's about as far as it's going to go.
But they're not busting out Kenobi footage yet, even though they started.
Do you think that Detours is actually going to be a thing?
I don't really care. I assume so. I think they're putting all the Star Wars content on Disney Plus, because why not? Yeah. I mean, if they could put all those old Star Wars animated shows on there, why not Detours?
Yeah, that's true. Do you think that there will be anything that they put out tomorrow that could potentially detract from the Bad Batch?
No.
No, because like I said, I think the most we're going to get is like a couple minutes of something from one of the shows, and you know, maybe they don't want to detract from the Bad Batch, but I also don't think that the people who were going to watch the Bad Batch would be distracted from it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like because there's good, because plus they have another episode coming out on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yes. I'm pretty sure it's Thursday.
It's not Friday.
I'm pretty sure it's Thursday, but I feel like that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another question. Do you think that it's a load of crap that people who got screeners for the first Bad Batch episode are talking about it on Twitter even as we speak?
Yes, I know someone who is in a DM group I'm in.
I think that is crap, but I've not been on Twitter since about 3 o'clock, except for the DMs you sent us.
3 o'clock last month.
Yeah.
No, a friend of the show, Ron Sayo, we all know, he saw it. He saw a couple episodes. He said that it was great.
Well, that's good.
He didn't give any details. He didn't spoil us, which was very good of him.
Well, Ron's a good guy. So
sometimes. Anyway. No, I'm in a fantasy basketball league with him. Totally kidding.
Well, I mean, Eric, you think it's crap?
It annoys me.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when we're this close.
Yeah.
But whatever,
literal hours.
People can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you know this, but Twitter's stupid. I'm glad that I made the friends I've made and that I can communicate with them that way. But past that, man, that place sucks.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I feel like, of course, my hot take on it, on the fact that it sucks, is no better than any of the hot takes people have about anything else that you see on Twitter. Hey, here's something that somebody's trying to do. Let's crap on that. Here's something that somebody's trying to do. Let's act like it's a big deal.
Yeah. It's not okay to like things anymore. It's not okay. But that's how it is and how it goes. And that's why I will soon be locking that bitch down, because I'm tired of it.
I am out of here. Well, speaking of being out of here, I think now is a fine a time as any to bring this show to a close, because we will have more stuff to talk about tomorrow. But as of right now, we've about tapped it out. Mm-hmm. So check it out. Be sure to, like I said, patreon.com/thebadmotivators. And Xiaomen, check out our merch on TeePublic and Redbubble. And I already did the other stuff. So, well, sweet, man. Hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
The Bad Motivators.